where I am, because we're communicating wirelessly. Go ahead and be seated. And so we tried his computer. It's a Mac, and it's trying to wirelessly connect up there. You need Windows K. Well, on a Mac, you don't have Windows. So I'm going to continue to try it. This is Vlad. Let me make sure you're on, because you're probably muted.
Okay.
Where's your the box?
On the back, right here.
Try that. See on?
Hello?
Yep.
One? Okay. Okay, good morning, everybody. As I already, like it was said, my name is Vlad. And, you know, just because I just don't want to identify myself with Vladimir Putin, I shortened to Vlad, you know. Because actually the full name would be Vladimir. Vladimir, what is Vlad, you know. And like I always say, like, sometimes I'm sad, sometimes I can be even mad, but I am always glad, you know, to be Vlad. Yeah, but I'm so appreciated for opportunity to be this morning here. You know, I am so thankful for this time to be together. And I just wanted to say that I wish I could be here with all my family, or at least with my wife. But again, because of the situation in my country, as many of you know, or probably all of you know, with the war, and actually one that started not back February 24th, 2022, like many would consider, but it started much, much early back in 2014 when the Crimea was annexed first. And just because of the situation, because of the war, the men from 18 to 60 are banned from going out of the country. And we are not allowed to cross the border. We are not allowed out of the country because every man from 18 to 60 can be mobilized anytime, especially since 25, starting with 25. Now it's with 27, actually. But still, since from 18 to 60, all the men supposed to stay in the country. But it was a miracle. It was a marvelous that I could live this time to come for United States Service Command Academy training. And last year I applied for that permission. I got the permission, but it was too late for me to come. The academy already was over and I couldn't make it last year. But I am so grateful for this year that I was able to come and spend the time with the great man, and it was just a blessing to be there and got some new experience and knowledge to take back with me to Ukraine. And like I said, I would love to be here with my wife, with Maya. I hope we can make pictures working or even maybe video with a short presentation about the ministry and my family. And, you know, I would like maybe here now in Sunday school just to share a bit my testimony, how God saved me back in army. This why the military, the army, the men and women in uniform became so special, so dear to my heart. And back in 2019, one of the American from Cleveland Baptist Church invited me to join their group to go to the front line. And that time the front line was in city Mariupol, next to Azovian Sea, one that are now annexed, occupied by Russians. But that time, back in 19, he invited me to join their group, and I got to my first trip to the front line with that missionary, with Ronald Jackson from Cleveland, Ohio. And since that, I've been always traveling with him, wherever we had opportunity to go and see the soldiers and to preach the word. And, you know, and it became a very precious, very dear and special ministry in my life. And when the full annexion started in February 24, 2022, I already been involved in chaplaincy, and especially with the United States Service Command, because Pastor Robert Sutton first introduced me to this organization back in 2021, We came with my wife just for a month, for 1 month, before our oldest daughter had to be married. And we came for 1 month and we ran back home not to be late for the wedding. We came just 3 days before the wedding started. Yeah, and like I said, this men and women in uniform were very special to me, and having this opportunity, when the full invasion started, my church very much supported me in the chaplaincy ministry, because of the situation, the many women, like the soldiers, can have just only 1 day off, and usually this is a Sunday. And often I have to tell the church that I have to use this opportunity to preach to the men and women in uniform while there is a time for them, because usually when they got to the training camp, it just for 6-8 months, and they are sent to the front line, to the combat. They are deployed. And therefore, I am appreciated that I can be ministering them while they have a chance to stay in our training base back home. But there are times when we go forward, when we go to the front lines and preach the word over there, where they are. And again, back in, you know, I was born... I was born 11, what time I have to stop?
Quarter till,
okay. I was born in the criminal family. My dad used to be Russian from Tatarstan, from Kazan, Russian Tatar, and my mom from the west of Ukraine, but it was a criminal family. My dad spent like 8 years in prison. My uncle spent 12 years in prison, and I grew up in this atmosphere of like criminal atmosphere. And when I turned 13, when I was 13 years old, I was in my state in two different counties under special police control for some not good stuff, you know, not good things. And when I was 18, when I turned 18, I was too close to get to the jail. But I was drafted to army, and it became for me like, as you know, what we call the saving ring, спасательный круг, when you throw this to the water, you know, when somebody is like drowning. Yeah, it became, the army became like one of that saving. Lifesaver, yes. And I got to the military, I got to the army, and I spent just probably month or 6 weeks, like 4-6 weeks, and dad and mom came to visit with me. This was actually the last meeting with my dad. Then he told me that my uncle that got out of the prison was beaten badly and now in intensive care. And they left back home, and probably in another week or 10 days, I got a call from the officer, and he said, Vlad, you should go back home because there is some accident happened. I said, what kind of accident? And he said, it seems like your dad passed away. I said, no, it's impossible, just because they visited with me like last week, little bit more. And I know my uncle was in bad condition, but not dead. And he said, but we've got telegram. It was back in 1992. When I was just drafted to army, and I was just like eight weeks probably in the military. And they said, yeah, it said Yuri, not Anatoly. And I got to the train, I got back home, and it's actually my dad committed suicide. And this is what happened. And on the way back, I spent 5 days with my family, and on the way back to my military base, I began to consider about some spiritual thing, you know. Is there any kind of life behind this life, after this life? Will I ever see my dad again or not? And I was just thinking about such things. But as soon as I came to the military base and service continue, you know, I had no much time to think about some kind of spiritual stuff. But time was passing, time was going, and few months later, I was transferred from one military base to another as a young sergeant. I just got my sergeant rank, and I got to another military base where I got immediately conflict with the soldiers that already had some experience. I was just a young sergeant. I just served like for half year or even less when I got to that military base. And there was start some fight and very bad fight. And one day I decided I am leaving. I didn't come to military. I came to military not to fight, but to serve. And not to fight, especially with my buddies. And I left the base. I got back home. Next morning, I was already in the recruiting center. And I said, you know, I am not hiding. I am not escaping. I am not running anywhere. I just want to serve in army. And they said, okay, stay home. And we will see what we can do. There is two options. You will go either to Moldova, because there was the war going at the time. It was 1992. Moldova and the part of Moldova that are annexed now by Russians also. You know, or you will go just to construction unit, you know, for what you've just done. And I stay home for probably 10 days before my officer came from my military base. And he said, Vlad, you know, there is a very dangerous situation. You are in danger to be now in like military prison, in military jail for what you've done. Therefore, we should go back to the base and solve this issue. And I really, really got scared at that time. I really got scared. Going back to the military base in the train, I was thinking to myself, I thought, you know, if I would get to this prison, to this military prison with other kind article, you know, like if I would kill someone or beat someone, it would be like among those guys would be more honorable. But now, going to the jail with this kind article that I left my military base, I was scared. I was afraid. And first time in my life, I stood in the train going to my military base from my hometown. And first time in my life, I turned to God in prayer. You know, I don't want now to discuss here some theological issues about will God answer the prayer? Does God hear the prayer? The unsaved person, like before he gets saved, you know, some other. We are not going to discuss that. Pastor can explain that better than I will do. But staying there in train, first time in my life, I said, God, if you really exist, if you really is, you know the situation, you know the situation that I was not like initiator. I just wanted to serve, you know. And if you do any kind like miracle to me, if you would help me in this case, I would dedicate my life, I would dedicate every day of my life to you, to the end of my life. I would serve you, I will be grateful and thankful for what you've done. I came to my military base, I met the commander, the chief commander. We had some discussion, we talked about some things, and he said, see, we know all the situation, and our proposition is, our deal is, we are sending those guys, and they already been civilian. The problem was, just because they were not the best soldiers while they serve, commander decided to keep them on the military base to the very Christmas, not sending them home. And actually, officially, they've been civilian already, juridically, but they were not allowed out of the military base. They would stay there. And that's why they were like mad and angry, and they beat everybody, and especially the young sergeant and so on. And commander didn't want that problem because they were on the base also illegally. And he said, we are making a deal. We transfer you to new base, which whatever you pick up, and we will send those guys back home, and it's done. And I said, I don't care what military base you are going to send me to. I just want to serve. I just don't want any kind of fights and so on. They sent me to new military base, and it was a miracle. And whenever I came to that military base, the very first Sunday when I had day off, I got out of the town, it was a small town, and I started looking for the churches. I started looking for the churches to go and just be thankful, just thank God for what he's done. And whatever church I saw, it doesn't matter, was it Orthodox or Catholic or some Protestant church, I would step in. Okay, if this church required to put the candle, you know, okay, I would put the candle. If this church required cross myself, okay, I will do that one. And I've been doing everything, whatever churches require to do, you know. I would sell myself. We've got soldiers to have more money to give more to different churches because there was several of them in the town, you know. And finally, one eve, I sent a letter to my grandma, and she used to be the Greek Catholic. I sent her the letter. I said, Grandma, I really, really believe in God. I believed in God. He exists. What you can suggest me? What you can help me with that I would serve him, because I promised him to serve to the end of my life if he is going to do this miracle to me, and he's done. And she sent me just like half size of my Bible, the prayer book. And she said, oh, if you would just pray, you know, with this all these prayers, when you go to work, or you're going to eat, or you're going to sleep, or you start your day, or you finish your day, just use this little book. And every time I had to go to the breakfast or lunch or just to work, I would sit and read this little prayer book, looking for the prayer for this special event. And one time, one of the sergeant was coming next to me. He said, Vlad, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I am praying. He said, would you like me to meet with you, with people, introduce you to people, and they will tell you, they will teach you how to pray without any kind of book? I said, oh, that would be great. You know, this is something I would love, and I would not need to carry this little book in my pocket all the time, you know. And he introduced me to the church. It was kind church back in 92. I call that kind of church Pentecostal church, you know, because that time it was like Baptist and Pentecostal in one church, and therefore that used to be the Pentecostal church. Now, I got there, I began to come every day off. I had sit on the last row and listening to the preacher, and I believed in every single word that was preached from the pulpit. But I couldn't believe in Bible itself, you know, Bible itself. And you know who helped me with that? Like I said, I've been visiting different churches that time, and the Seventh-day Adventists, they're one who invited me to their conference, and they really liked conference about the prophecy, about the Bible, and that where I was persuaded in Bible being the Word of God, you know. And I came back to the military base. It was April 4, 2 a.m., 1993, and I covered myself with the blanket, being on my bunk at 2 a.m., and I said, God, I am a sinner. I really is. And I know I am heading to the hell, and it's going to be the eternal punishment for all I've done, for all who I am, being a sinner. Please forgive me for not trusting your word for so long time. I could trust you much more early. And I really got saved that very night. But at the beginning, I couldn't believe that God could hear me laying on my bunk, you know, under the blanket. Therefore, I jumped down and I prayed second time, staying on my knees between the beds. And it's happened like April 4th at 2 a.m. 1993. And then probably 2 weeks later, we had a big evangelization company, and about 300, I would say 200-300 our soldiers, men in uniform, were invited and visited that evangelization. And whenever a preacher never done invitation, yes, he just said amen, I start walking from my seat, I start walking to the pulpit. And he said, what do you want? And I was in uniform. And you have to understand that actually still Soviet army, you know, it's slowly transforming into Ukrainian army, but still Soviet. Ukrainian got their independence back in 1991. And therefore, army in 92, it's still Soviet army. And I said, oh, I want to tell all my buddies, because all this couple weeks, last weeks, I was accused, excuses myself why I quit smoking, why I quit cussing, and why I'm not drinking anymore, you know, with my buddies. I always was excused myself, but now I want to tell them that God really saved me, and I am now Christian, and this is actually the reason why I am not doing all that stuff. But you know what actually led me to the repentance, what led me to accepting my Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? That prayer in the train. Three simple things I learned for myself after God made that miracle and answered my prayer. First, I learned that He exists. I said, God, I know You exist. Second point that I learned for myself, that He is not just exist, but He is all-powerful, He almighty. He can influence on situation. He can change the obstacles. Like, He can do it. But the third most important, what made Jesus Christ my personal Savior, not just general Savior, that I have believed He can do it for me personally. Amen. Because He answered my personal prayer. And again, I am not discussing about the answering prayer and so on, beside the prayer of repentance. But again, that prayer in the train led me to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, He is my personal Savior, and He can do miracle. And therefore, even today, so many years after my salvation, I go into Him in my prayers, believing and trusting in miracles in my life. And one of them happened just last week, before I had to come here, when I was allowed to cross the border. That was another miracle, and it was amazing. And therefore, I am so thankful, my Lord, my God, my Savior, Jesus Christ, for what He's done and what He is keeping doing in my life, and especially in my ministry. And I maybe will tell that more later.
Now, I want you to stay up there. Go ahead and tell them about the miracle about you coming across the border.
Okay, you know, I've got permission this time. I turned to a friend of mine, and he's the chief priest of Orthodox Church. We studied together in the university, National University. And I asked him, I said, can you help me with the apply for the permission? Because there is a special system in computer with which you can leave the country, actually. And he said, I can try, and if you get this permission, it doesn't mean automatically you are going to be out, because on the border you can be turned around and sent back home. Therefore, no guarantee. I said, I understand, there is no problem, I will do it, I will try, I will make a shot. And I got the permission on Tuesday, and Saturday I headed to the border. I got to the border with Poland, and I gave all my documents. I was checked there. They said my car is going to be under control, but when I first arrived and the first border patrol checked his system, he said, there is no your car in the list, but just because there is no line, you can try in. And therefore, they let me through the first gate. I got to the second one where they are checking passport and all the documents, and the lady officer said, she checked all the permission, all the documents, everything was fine. But like I said, they are now the authority, and they decide who is going out and who is not. Probably if I would got the permission from Zelensky, President Zelensky himself, probably there wasn't any questions. But she asked me, are you living the very first time since February 24th to 22? I said, yes, ma'am, this is the very first time. I've got permission last year, but I never used a chance and stay in the country. And now I am going for chaplaincy training. And she said, okay, you just stay aside over there and I will be back and you will have some extra interview. And I was sitting there, he got all my papers and passport, and I was sure it's going to be denied. And even being a believer, I believed in worst scenario, you know. But She came back probably after 15, 20 minutes. She came back and she said, you know, we just got some some command. And if you are going to be back in time through the same checkpoint in time with the stuff you declare to bring back, you can go. And he said, yes, ma'am, I am going to be in time. I am not going to escape. I am not running out of the war. I am going to the United States for the training and also to deliver the message to the people. Thank them, first of all, for being support, for all their prayers, for all the aid America is given to Ukraine in this war, and to be back in time to keep serving my soldiers. Because I am, she read on my briefcase, Pastor Vlad, chaplain. And she said, are you pastor? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. But she doesn't look like a pastor. I said, but I am also the chaplain. Okay, and she allowed me to go. And that was a miracle because today, statistically, from 80 to 90% men are not crossing the border. They are turning around and sent back home, even with all legal permissions. Therefore, it was just a miracle, and I'm grateful and thankful God for this opportunity to be here today.
All right, thank you. What we're going to do is we're going to keep working on the thing. I've got a video we're going to show for Veterans Day. We're going to recognize all of the veterans, and if we had any active military in here, and I've got a challenge coin for each one of you that we'll give. We will also do question and answers, I promised, of Vlad. And it is very interesting, obviously, from the salvation story, testimony, tremendous. That's one of the things that really attached me to Vlad was the fact that his testimony is unusual when he's first telling it. And you hear about the experience, you're just, you know, when I first heard it, I was like, need a little more, and then, you know, he gets saved, and it's very obvious, but praise the Lord, and listen, there's things that are happening in Vlad's life that we need to continue to pray for him, outreach. I hope we can show the stuff on here, because it shows a little bit of the war. We don't want to glorify that, but we do have, there are some pictures of that, and then there's some pictures of him with the men around him, I think up to several hundred in some of the groups. But if you see the flag out there, that was signed by who?
It was signed by the guys on the south direction, one that just recently was badly attacked. And by the way, I found out just lately that one of the chaplain we got to that visit, he is the official chaplain of that brigade, 128. He was wounded by rocket C-300 and shrapnel of that rocket. And now he is in the hospital. We know this chaplain personally. And that was the guys from the south direction, from the front line.
So what he had to promise to do was bring in three drones. And the drones are retrofitted to drop grenades. So they put them up in the air. They're not for spying so much. They put them up in the air, and then they'll use them to drop grenades. So that's one, and then some medical supplies.
Yes, what I'm going to check to get in Poland, just because I crossed the border, I especially crossed the border with my truck, to get the supplies, to get it back to the country for the refugees and for the hospitals.
And that was the only way they would let him out, was if he agreed to that. And that is what, you know, God used to intervene to get him out of Ukraine into Poland. Then he flew from Poland to Chicago the day before our chaplain meeting. He got to the chaplain meeting, and then the church in Tallahassee got him down last weekend. I pulled rank as the national commander. I said, the church is going to take you on for support. And I said, we need you here this Sunday.
Amen.
So he'll
be here this Sunday.
And next Sunday, I think you'll be at down south in South Florida at another church.
I believe so, with John Boucher, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, with John Boucher?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll start up again at about 11 o'clock.